From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Those are the sounds of the Men's Woodland Dance Contest yesterday at the American Indian Center in Chicago's 68th annual powwow. There are 574 federally recognized indigenous tribes and nations in the United States of America. And while a lot of people are observing the federal holiday of Columbus Day today, a growing number are instead choosing to observe Indigenous Peoples Day. Last Friday, President Joe Biden became the first president to formally issue a proclamation recognizing today as Indigenous Peoples Day, writing, "For generations, federal policies systematically sought to assimilate and displace Native people and eradicate Native cultures. Today, we recognize Indigenous peoples' resilience and strength, as well as the immeasurable positive impact that they have made on every aspect of American society." Some American states and cities officially recognize the holiday, and while that isn't officially the case here in Illinois, some lawmakers have introduced legislation that would do just that. Joining us now to talk about this and more are Andrew Johnson. He is a citizen of the Cherokee Nation, chairperson of the Native American Employment Plan Advisory Council, executive director of the Native American Chamber of Commerce of Illinois, and president of Cherokee Metal and Alloy Products. Andrew, thank you for coming on the program with us today.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Also with us is Natakashi Makintabe, a Choctaw and Chickasaw from Peoria, a sophomore at Illinois State University, where he's founder of the new student organization Tribe. Hello, Natakashi, and welcome to the 21st.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And listeners, we want to invite you to join the conversation as well. We want to know if you attended the AIC powwow this weekend, or maybe you have a perspective or question for any of our guests about Indigenous Peoples Day. Our lines are open, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. So, Andrew, I'm going to begin with you. We heard some sounds from some of the intertribal dancing at the powwow this weekend. Can you talk a little bit more about the powwow? I understand you attended this year.
Yes, I did. And actually, I was the former executive director at the American Indian Center and had some responsibility for it previously, too. So I have to say it was absolutely wonderful. With the way COVID hit last year, we were not able to gather in the way that we have. And it really, really affected many of us. And that's what we are, very much an interactive social group, wanting to be together, wanting to share, celebrate, sing, dance, listen to the drum. It was just made my heart sore to see all of the people together like that. To be able to see the regalia, to listen to the drums. I think they had just had a more special sound and beat this year than previously. But with all of the people dancing and all of the folks there, there were, I've got to think, 3,000 or 4,000 that were in attendance through the weekend. It went Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The weather was beautiful. You could not have asked for a more wonderful time to get back together to celebrate your native roots, to see friends that you hadn't seen for a while, and just really, really enjoy the experience.
You know, Andrew, there are, Illinois is one of the states that does not have any sovereign tribal land in it. But so how large is the indigenous population in Chicago, in Illinois, and how many nations are represented there?
Well, we've got, with the 2010 census, I have to look and see what's updated since then, but there are approximately 100,000 natives in Illinois, the state, approximately 60,000 within Chicagoland, so that's with all of our collar counties, and about 40,000 in Chicago Metro. So it's a very sizable population, a vibrant population, about the 15th largest urban native population in the U.S. And There are, I've been saying 125 tribes. I think there's over 150 tribes represented within our state. So it is something where we do not have a federal, you know, federally recognized tribes here, nor trust land, the reservations, but a tremendous population, intertribal population from throughout the United States. So it's really a pleasure and an honor to be a part of that.
And Andrew, can you just talk a little bit about your own heritage and why a gathering like the powwow? Why is it so important for Indigenous people individually and as communities in Illinois?
My background, I am an enrolled, I'm a citizen of the Cherokee Nation, that our capital is in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. We were removed from the eastern United States of the Smoky Mountain area, with eastern Tennessee, western North Carolina, northern Georgia, removed in the 1830s with the Indian Removal Act. So our ancestors trekked during the winter of 1838-1839 from that area to present-day Oklahoma, Tahlequah. So Tahlequah is about an hour and a half east of Tulsa, hour east of Tulsa, where our tribal headquarters are, and our reserved lands are. My father was born and raised there. He went to Indian boarding schools at Seneca and Shalako. And even though his experience there was positive, it was something where the schools did strip you of your heritage, your language, and all of those items that connect you with your culture. So we grew up in a white suburb out in California. I was the only Native in my high school. We were always proud to be Indian. We would go back to visit relatives and everyone in Oklahoma, but I wasn't raised in that way. So I got curious and more interested later in life, and that's how I became involved at the American Indian Center. That's how I started some businesses and participated as a Native entrepreneur and started the Native American Chamber of Commerce, and then looked into other acts that we could pass. A powwow is really a generational, multi-generational in attendance and in its history too. It's a time when we all can come together and celebrate, dance, pray. It has all aspects of just community life, religious, prayer, political, friendships, just dancing, it's emotion. It is truly a wonderful, wonderful experience and something that really does touch you because of the way it is set up, the way it is conducted, the drums are there, and those are the heartbeat of our people. And it is visceral as it beats, because it runs through your body, and then listening to the songs, listening and seeing the dances, I just can't say enough. It really builds your spirit, lifts your spirit, and gives you great joy and understanding of the history, and that we are still here and that we have an incredible future waiting for us.
Let me just take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We've been talking about the American Indian Center of Chicago's annual powwow from this past weekend. And a little later, we're going to be talking about Indigenous Peoples Day, which is today. We're speaking with Andrew Johnson, who's a citizen of the Cherokee Nation and chairperson of the Native American Employment Plan Advisory Council here in Illinois, among a few other affiliations he has we can talk about later. We're also joined by Nitakashi Makintabe, a Choctaw and Chickasaw from Peoria, who's also a sophomore at Illinois State and the founder of a new student organization there called Tribe. And Nitakashi, I want to ask you about Tribe in a moment, but can you just start by telling us a little bit about your heritage? and why you came to why you decided to start this student organization.
Sure. So I am Choctaw and Chickasaw. That descends from my maternal line. My grandmother was born in Hartshorn, Oklahoma, was raised in the Choctaw Nation land her entire life. Her brothers and her cousins all went to Goodland Academy boarding school, Indian boarding school. She was lucky enough to not have to attend, but she did move to Dallas. It's where she met my grandfather. They got married, and then Caterpillar has jobs here. So we came here. Grew up in Peoria, kind of disconnected from my culture because it's quite a ways away from Oklahoma. But, you know, my grandma and my mother always tried to instill some form of indigenous pride in me. As I grew up in a mostly white high school, kind of like Andrew's upbringing, actually, in the suburbs, mostly white suburbs, I was the only Indian kid that I knew. I started to lose kind of my identity. But then as I got older, I wanted to find out more about myself, and I wanted to reconnect in a way. And I think that these age groups that college typically has, you know, from 18 to sometimes 25, that's when you're really trying to find yourself. And that's when you're really starting to learn who you are and who you will be for the rest of your life. So I started Tribe because at ISU, there was once a Native American student organization that fell through probably like 10 years ago plus. And, you know, our people weren't being represented on campus anymore. And I wanted to make sure that, you know, if there was more Native students that came, they didn't have to fight the same fight that we have to fight, you know, to be recognized at our school, fight that I've heard many times in the past decade. So, essentially, Tribe is that place for Native students that don't feel like they're being seen to come, and we can create that community and we can start bringing healing to Bloomington Normal.
And how is it going? How many, I mean, has it been a challenge finding other students to join, or people eager about this? How's that going?
So right now it's mostly me and another Native student named Darcy Allred. She's a Wyandotte. We're the two, you know, classically Indigenous people. We have a lot of allies that join, which we're super thankful for. And, you know, the RSO community at Illinois State University has been super supportive. They've been spreading our message, trying to find us members. I think the problem is that Illinois State University has a really low enrollment rate for Native Americans. Mathematically speaking, there's like 50 Native students, but also we're a little bit invisible on campus. It's kind of up to us to promote ourselves. You know, the school does do some work in that, but we don't have the ability to access, you know, demographic data in terms of specifics, you know, who is specifically Native American, kids that specifically are looking for Native organizations. And in a lot of cases, you know, kids will just kind of go on to UIUC, which has Native American House, instead of, you know, trying to look around for us. So it's a struggle. But like I said, you know, I know that someday another Native student's going to come here and want to do the same thing. So I figured we should get it out of the way so they don't have to fight this fight.
Andrew, I wonder, what was your college experience like? Were you, is that a time when you were able to get in more in touch with your culture and history?
You know, it's very interesting because actually it did not really happen until much, much later in my life. It was, we lived in California. We moved to Illinois here back in 1995, my family and three boys. And it was more at that time where my father was a bit older. He was being a bit more open about his history and his time. So that's really where it struck me. And I was so appreciative that the American Indian Center was here. I did do some, a little bit of work back in the Bay Area, but here I felt welcomed. I went in and volunteered, and it just really got me more involved, that there was a Native population here, that they were open and welcoming, that I was able to learn more and have a place to go to, you know, in terms of the center itself. So it's a journey that is picked up by many of us at different times in their lives. You know, it's interesting because there are actually some people that I knew from the center who did not, their parents did not even inform them that they were Native American until later in their adult life. So each one of us has a particular journey, and that's where I was able to come in, come into it. And I've learned a lot and been tremendously grateful for the help that I've received from other people. But just to reach out, there's the best time to get involved is you know, when you're ready and right now. It can be early on or later in life. There's a welcoming group there, and we sure would look forward to more participation in our culture.
All right, let me just remind listeners, this is the 21st. We're talking about, today is Indigenous Peoples Day, the first time that the President of the United States has formally recognized that holiday today, which is also observed as Columbus Day, although there is a growing movement to get it either replaced or alongside. We can talk a little bit more about that. We've also been speaking about the American Indian Center in Chicago's powwow, which was this past weekend. We're starting to get callers. If you were there, we would love to hear from you. 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. We already have one caller on the line. I'm going to ask you to hold. We need to take a quick break here, but when we come back, we're going to hear your experience there this weekend, and we're going to talk more about these and other issues. You're listening to the 21st. More to come. Stay with us. Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking today on Indigenous Peoples Day, the first time that the President of the United States has formally issued a proclamation recognizing that holiday. And we are speaking about that as well as the powwow that happened, sponsored by the American Indian Center of Chicago this past weekend. We're speaking about that with Andrew Johnson, who's a citizen of the Cherokee Nation, chairperson of the Native American Employment Plan Advisory Council here in Illinois, as well as director of the Native American Chamber of Commerce here and the president of Cherokee Metal and Alloy Products. We are also speaking with Natakashi Makintabe, Choctaw and Chickasaw from Peoria, student at Illinois State and the founder of a student organization there called Tribe. We had hoped to also speak with the executive director of the American Indian Center of Chicago, but we're not able to. We had thought we had arranged to have her on the program, but we're not able to connect this morning. We are still trying. We'll hope to bring her on if she can join us. But 800-222-9455 is the number if you want to join our conversation, especially if you are of Native American heritage and if you attended the powwow this weekend. We'd love to hear about your experience, or maybe you just have a perspective on Indigenous Peoples Day, possibly replacing or living alongside Columbus Day. 800-222-9455 is our number, 800-222-9455. And I'm going to begin on line four with Louie. Louie, thank you for calling in. I understand you were at the powwow this weekend.
Yes, Brian, thank you for taking my call. I'm Louie Basur. I'm a member of the Lacoudere tribe in northern Wisconsin, and I was part of the powwow planning committee that put together the event this weekend. And as you can understand, putting together an event like this is a community enterprise, and there are a lot of people who work real hard at it. And we were just so overwhelmed at the reception of all the people who came out. We had over 300 registered dancers competing in the various contests. We had 51 vendors that came out to provide not only food, but arts and crafts and regalia and shirts and books. We had 10 drums, ranging from experienced drums like our head drum, Midnight Express. And then we also had a youth drum, which was this was their second powwow. So they only know a few songs, but they got to learn from the more experienced drummers who took them in under their arms. So,
and can you just talk briefly about, from your perspective, why was it important to get together and how long it had been?
Well, it's important because, as Andrew mentioned before, we're a social people. One of the things I was mentioning to your producer is that I forgot how much I missed Indian humor, just hanging out with people and joking back and forth, whether you've known them for 50 years or you just met them this weekend, just joking back and forth, having a good time, enjoying some good food, some camaraderie. Last year's powwow was almost canceled. The community said no, and we did a virtual event, but it isn't the same as getting together and just sharing bread and having a meal, listening to the music live, listening to the drums. So that's just real important for us as a community, and just, you know, people have been waiting for it for almost 2 years.
All right, Louis, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your experiences this weekend. We appreciate it. 800-222-9455 if you're out there and you want to join us as well. You can also always tweet us at 21st Show. That's at 21st Show. So, Andrew, I want to ask you, do you have a perspective? I mean, I mentioned a few moments ago that President Biden declared this Indigenous People's Day, and but in Illinois, the state law, it still says Columbus Day on the books. And I understand the American Indian Center in Chicago has been active in campaigning to sort of get this changed in Illinois to have today recognized as Indigenous People's Day. Do you have a perspective on that?
Yes, absolutely. We're as the Chamber of Commerce, Native American Chamber of Commerce here in Illinois, absolutely supports the commemoration of Indigenous Peoples Day. It is critical. It is important for us, for our heritage, to understand what did happen, and back to that what happened in the past, and that we are still here, and that we have a tremendous future. So it is, it's a commemoration, a recognition for all of us that really does help us, but it helps other people to know that we are here. It provides another avenue of education that helps to inform people. It's remarkable that we still do receive comments. You are still here. I thought you were all gone. I thought you disappeared. And with Illinois itself, as we were saying, there are no federally recognized tribes. We have a particular challenge here to make sure that people know that there is a vibrant Native community, that we do contribute in many, many ways, and are a whole part of our society here in the state.
Nitakeshi, do you have a perspective on Indigenous Peoples Day, the idea of it replacing Columbus Day? I mean, you mentioned the sort of lack of visibility for Native students at Illinois State. I wonder if this, you know, relates to that in any way.
I think Indigenous Peoples Day is absolutely important. Having a holiday that kind of celebrates our cultures and allows for us to either take some time to maybe take some time off and heal, or to come together in community, is always great. I do recognize, I have a lot of Italian friends that use Columbus Day as sort of an Italian pride heritage thing. And that's a conversation that does need to be had. You know, I understand that Italian Americans were also an oppressed, marginalized group at one point in time in the United States. But I also feel like a lot of people cling on to Columbus Day just because it's something that they grew up with and they're not a big fan of change. But for us specifically, for me specifically, Indigenous Peoples Day is a day to kind of promote our voices. It's a day to remind, non-Indigenous people that, we're still here. There are still policies that are being enacted against us that, need to be changed. There's still work to be done. And, other than that, I think every day is Indigenous Peoples Day, especially for, people like us. We have to go through being Native American and trying to navigate ourselves in a world that wasn't really designed for us. And it's pretty important to show people what that's like, at least for a day.
Yeah, and Andrew, what about that? I mean, we just heard Nitakeshi mention the, you do hear from Italian Americans. There was an article in the Tribune, I think it was in May. There was a Cook County commissioner who was an African American who revealed he was a descendant of slaves owned by a Choctaw tribe. And then, yeah, you do hear from Italian Americans about, this is a point of pride for them, and they were marginalized in history as well. I wonder what your perspective is on that.
And a couple of things that absolutely each particular ethnic nationality really needs to have that kind of a day to celebrate their history in that. I think none of us have any issue around Italian Americans celebrating their history and what they have accomplished and done. Part of it is around just the naming of it after that particular individual. I think when one looks at what occurred with confrontation back in the 1492, that there were some tremendous atrocities that occurred at the hands of that individual and what was put into place and occurred after that. So absolutely support the Italian American community, but I think we could address that in a way other than naming it after that other individual that was such a disaster for Native Americans, for the people, the indigenous peoples here in North Central and Southern South America.
If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about Indigenous Peoples Day on this Indigenous Peoples Day, as recognized by the President of the United States, although not in law in Illinois. There is a move to change that. We're speaking with Andrew Johnson, who is a citizen of the Cherokee Nation and also chair of the Native American Employment Plan Advisory Council here in Illinois and director of the Native American Chamber of Commerce of Illinois. We're also speaking with Natakashi Makantabe, who is a member or is a Choctaw and Chickasaw from Peoria, I should say, and a student at Illinois State University and founder of the student organization Tribe at ISU. And 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. 800-222-9455. I want to ask you, Andrew, on this question, we've been talking a little bit about visibility. Governor Pritzker last December established this new Native American Employment Plan Advisory Council. As I mentioned, you're the chair of that. Can you talk, what are the goals of the council? And maybe just you can talk a little generally about, you know, the importance of state level and business activism for Indigenous people.
Certainly. I think we do have to look at Illinois itself and our history, that the last true interaction on a political level was with the Treaty of Chicago back in 1833, when all the natives were removed. Small band of Potawatomi were able to stay in Illinois, but for the most part were removed west of the Mississippi. So when we give a land acknowledgement, we talk about the original peoples here in Illinois. There are many tribes that no longer exist. And we know that there is a vibrant population today, but we really have not had any participation representation there on the state level. If we look at where we do stand in terms of employment, there are approximately 46,000 state employees, of which today there are only 192 that are American Indians. Of the agencies there that, within the state, there are six that reported a liaison to the Native American community, and 39 did not have any connection to the Native communities. So what we were able to do was work. It was SB 727, the Native American Employment Plan Act. It went through the whole process. It was signed into law in August 2019. After passing the Senate 57-0 and the House 116-1. And we had our first meeting in December of 2020 after members were appointed by Governor Pritzker. And we have to, want to express our appreciation to him and his administration for allowing this to go through and signing this into law. The purposes of the act really are to improve the services for Native Americans here in Illinois, identify the particular staffing needs, track hiring practices, increase the number of Native American state employees, increase the number of promotions. It's not only who you hire, but where they are in the hierarchy there. So we want supervisorial, managerial folks, and then assist the other agencies in reaching their particular goals in the hiring of Native Americans, and to establish the council that we have. We have 11 members from people throughout the state. And then finally, a report that goes to the legislature and the governor, which is the Native American Employment Plan Act. So we were appreciative of the administration and the 2021 report that we put out. We made a number of changes to the original template that that we received, but it really beefed it up in terms of our goals and expectations. And it's back to that education too, with definitions and understanding what we're doing, where we're coming from. We're already seeing the fruits of this effort. One of the particular departments with the state had a requirement to hire tribally enrolled Native Americans to fulfill a particular position. These positions have been open for 3 to 4 years. So finally, we were able to see this happen as of a couple of months ago. So we're pleased to see that our efforts are coming to bear, and we are developing much more of a relationship with the state, and them recognizing that indeed the Native Americans are here and are adding and very participatory in all of the things that are done.
All right, just a couple of minutes left in our conversation. Takashi, I wanted to ask you one other thing that jumped out about, I think it was from an ISU press release announcing the student organization. You're quoted as saying you're against official registration in there. You choose to self-identify because of the process of registration and what's known as blood quantum. Can you just talk briefly about that?
So essentially, there are three things in the United States that have to register blood quantum. It's horses, dogs, and the American Indian. And I don't have any problem with people that are enrolled. And I myself have started the enrollment process. It's so bureaucratic. You have to do a lot of stuff. You have to fill out a BIA form. You have to fill out a form for the nation. And then you have to get affidavits and all these sorts of different things. So it's a long process. But, you know, I think that as a principal, the idea of blood quantum it's a tricky one, because on one hand, it's a way for our communities to understand who is and who is not a member of that community historically. But also on the other hand, it's kind of a demeaning way to do it. I feel like there are different ways that you could go about it through kinship roles or, you know, things of that nature. But at the end of the day, the federally recognized tribal system, it's going to utilize whatever the BIA kind of sets forth for us, and it just is what it is. So particularly in that article, I wanted to emphasize that I'm not registered because, number one, it's super tough, and number two, I don't feel like I need to prove that I'm Choctaw or Chickasaw to anybody. That's my identity. That's something that I earned from my ancestors that passed it on to me, and that's what I'll always be regardless.
Takashi Makintabe is a Choctaw and Chickasaw from Peoria, sophomore at Illinois State. Thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for giving us a platform.
And Andrew Johnson is a citizen of the Cherokee Nation, chair of the Native American Employment Plan Advisory Council, director of the Native American Chamber of Commerce of Illinois, and president of Cherokee Metal and Alloy Products. Andrew, thank you as well for being with us today on the 21st.
Shrine, thank you very, very much for having us.
And coming up after a short break, we're going to continue here on the 21st. Stay with us.